When I prepared this godly stewardship, I just feel now that the Lord wants me to start off with something completely not this. I just feel as we were worshiping, I could just see God the Father sitting on his throne. And you know, it wasn't made of gold or wood or silver or anything that we can think of on this earth. It was transparent. It was so full of light. It was more than we could ever think or imagine it to be. And he was sitting there, and you know what was so great? He is this great and mighty God, holding every planet in his place. The one who made every planet. Just the other day I heard on the radio, they're discovering that the earth is, the universe is expanding. At this moment, God is adding on. He is this great I am. We see him as this little weak God hanging on the cross. No, he's long past Calvary. He is sitting on the throne in the heavens and he's ruling. We are just far behind. But you know what? What's so amazing tonight? You must be a very privileged group of people. Because God wants to reveal to you tonight his heart concerning his bride. As I was worshiping, God was just showing me how excited Jesus is. You know what? In this past week, we had a couple that was going to get that's going to get married soon, and I saw that young man so excited. He's so excited about his bride. He is just so excited to be married. The bride too, yes. But you know, us brides, we are so excited because of all the glamour and the white dress and all the beautiful things that's going to happen to us. But this young man, sometimes the men are very reserved. They don't want to show you how excited they are. But this guy was just so excited. He just couldn't wait for Saturday to come. And you know what? Last night when we went to the marriage in Stellenbosch, I saw another young man so excited. He grew up before us, and he's now a young man, beautiful, handsome young man. But you know what was so amazing? There was nothing reserved about him. He was just completely in love with his bride, and he showed it. Oh, the girls were so excited to see that. And his bride was radiant. She looked like a queen. She was just so excited. Yes, she had the most beautiful dress. But the radiance on her face, to see this young man so excited about her. You know, men, women give up the attention of lots of men just for yours. So give her that. Give her that. And you know what? As I was worshiping, I saw Jesus excited about you. He can't wait for the marriage supper. He is just so excited. Now, I just want to walk with you through the Jewish marriage so that you can see how great God has planned all this. You know what? Never before on this earth has people as the church so unanimously realized that Jesus is coming. Before, they had lots of different people believing different dates and things. But in this stage that we are now, the bride is getting ready for the bridegroom. But Jesus is getting ready. And that's why we're getting ready. Because he is so excited. You know what? I read and I listened to different things, and I actually studied the Bible, and I saw so many things being fulfilled. Actually, everything's fulfilled. They must just start building that temple. But you know what? The armies are ready for the battle. The world is preparing for the greatest battle. And when that battle comes, Jesus is coming. And he's going to stand on the mountain at Jerusalem. And it's going to tear apart. And you know what? The water's already there. They discovered it quite recently. There's so much water under this mountain getting ready to burst out and flow down to the Dead Sea and make it and heal it. It's ready, people. Jesus is excited. He's getting ready. He can't wait for us. Now let's get to the marriage. Okay, now, so in the Jewish marriage, the young man goes to the father of the bride and he pays him a gift offering. He gives to him like our black people will know the lobola. And so this is what God did. He paid with his own son's blood for us long ago, 2,000 years. But you know what the bridegroom does then? He leaves the bride behind and he goes home to his father's house. And he's never allowed to come back again to her. He stayed at his father's house and him and his father builds a house for him and his bride. What did Jesus say when he left? What's he going to do? Build us a house. He's going to build the house. And you know what? He's busy 2,000 years. What a house. What a house. Go and read it. Go and read it in Revelations. I think it's 20 or 19, round about there. You see the New Jerusalem. Golden streets. Imagine walking on golden streets. But it will be transparent. You will see the joy of God in that there will be no demons. There will be no devils to tempt us and give us all the hard time. We will just worship him and do whatever he wants us to do. It will be such a wonderful time. He went to prepare that place. You know, if you read it, I think it's about 25 or 50 kilometers high. And the same length and the same width, it's huge. It's double story. Really great. And he's building this house for us. But you know what? Then the bridegroom waits for his father to tell him, go and get your bride. So Jesus is sitting there at the father's feet and says, Dad, when can I go? When can I go and fetch my bride? And he is excited to come and fetch his bride. What about us? Are we not excited? Shouldn't we be so excited? Spend time in his presence, waiting, preparing our dressing gown. Beautiful gown. The most beautiful bridal gown that you've ever seen. Washed in the blood of Jesus. And that's what we are. You know, that's why we're struggling so much. That's why we've got to go through these fights and these things to get our hearts clean before the Father so that we are ready for him to come. That's why he's waiting. We're not ready. The bride must still put a few more stitches in. We need to really get ourselves ready for this. And people, we must get ready and we must get others ready. We must go out into the world and we must go and fetch them. Because they're going to miss out on the greatest wedding day. But you know what's more amazing? That every big feast that Israel had has been fulfilled. Except the Feast of the Tabernacles. And you know what? Jesus, if you take the Feast of the Tabernacles and you fit it into the wedding of the Lamb, it fits in beautifully. It fits in exactly like that. Because the bride will never know when the bridegroom comes. One night she will just hear the trumpet. And somebody will come and take her to the bridegroom. Not even the people in the city will know. The next morning they will say, where is she? What happened to her? She's gone. But the bridegroom will come and he will come and steal her as his own. And you know what? This is exactly what happens at the Feast of the Tabernacles. The first thing that happens at the Feast of the Tabernacles is the trumpet. The trumpet blows. But you know what? Before the trumpet blows, the harvest of the grapevine and the harvest of the olives must happen. And in that harvest, the oil is released and the wine. And you know what? That's a symbol of the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So God is going to pour out His Spirit and His blood over this earth so that more and more people will come into the kingdom. And this is what's busy happening, people. God is bringing His bride in place. He's getting us ready. He's anointing us to get us ready to be the bride. But when we are so open, hearing His voice, we will hear the trumpet. The other people will think it's thunder. You know, don't let anybody tell you it's just a symbolic thing. When Jesus came back, He came back exactly the way the prophet said He was going to come. He came through a virgin that was prophesied. He came in Bethlehem that was prophesied. Hundreds of years before He came. There was about over 40 prophecies about Jesus that came about exactly the way it happened. Why wouldn't He do the same when He comes for us? So this feast says then, and then the Jews know. You know what? And what's so amazing? That nobody in Israel knows when that trumpet's going to blow, not even the priest. They are waiting for the full moon. So they don't always know when they're going to see it. So they wait for that, and when they see it, they blow the trumpet for the Feast of Tabernacles. We don't know when Jesus is going to come. But Jesus Himself said we may see the seasons. So we know the seasons are here. But we're just waiting for that trumpet. And people, we're not going to hear it if we are not tuned in to the Holy of Holies, to the God of our fathers. You know what? We need to get our ears tuned in. And the next thing that happens is the Jews then have a time of really giving themselves over to God, to repent and get healed and get ready for the next feast. And now the bride is taken away. And now the feast starts. 7 days of feasting. You know how long ours are going to be? 7 years. While this earth is in toil, and while this earth is in agony, in the 7 years of terrible wrath, of Satan just taking over, because God says, when he that withholds the evil one is gone, then he will take over. And boy, oh boy, I don't want to be here. I really don't want to be here. I don't want to scare you, but I promise you, even the animals are going to start attacking us. Go and read the Bible. Go and see what God did in the beginning. He put something in the animals to be scared of us. That will be taken away. I don't want to be here. And I'm telling you tonight, I'm pleading with you, get your lives ready. Jesus is coming. And you know what? In that time of tribulation, 7 years, it will be so terrible. Praise God, the Jews are going to come in. God is going to seal them off. And God is going to bring them in. Because you know what? They were kept in the dark so that we can come in. So that the ones who are not Jews can come in. That's for us that they were kept back. And now God is going to come and seal them, and He's going to protect them through the tribulation. And then Jesus is coming. But you know what? We're coming with Him. And then God says we're going to rule and reign with Jesus, with gentleness, with humility. When I saw God sitting on that throne and I saw the might and the power, I could see the humbleness. There is no other God like Him. But He's not in vain about this. He's gentle about it. He's humble about it. He wants to hold us. He will never force you into his kingdom. Never. But he longs for you and he's calling out tonight. And he says, people, come in. Be ready to be my bride. And you know, this is what, and you know, this is so great. Then after the Jesus come back, they have, I'm not sure of the name that the Jews give that day. But then after that, it's the Feast of Tabernacles. Then they live in little shacks. But you know what? This is so amazing that Jesus is going to come and live with us. 1,000 years. We're going to be quite old, you know. We're going to reign with him for 1,000 years. We'll become older than Noah did. And even Adam and Eve. But we're going to enjoy every minute of it. And we're going to have new bodies. Bodies that can move faster than light. Somewhere I've heard, I can't remember all these things. I'm getting a bit old. So, but something about they discovered something that can now move faster than light. Some thing, science thing that they discovered. What? We're going to move faster than light? God's already done that long before. When he made the earth, he made all those channels for our TVs to work on. He made everything ready for radio and television and all these things that we use now. We think we're so smart. We discovered it. Oh, no. God made it in the beginning. He just didn't allow us to do it right in the beginning. So, isn't he great, this God that's excited about us? And I want you tonight, when you lie down in your bed, I want you to go and become excited because of him. Think about him being excited about you. Shouldn't you be excited about him? Shouldn't we walk every day drunk with love for our Lord? So full of his love, so filled, so soaked in his spirit, that we will just, the devil will not have an inch of a place to put his arrows. People, let's get ready. It's time to serve the Most High God. And now I'm not going to teach about stewardship. Maybe some other time. I just want us to go home tonight with this excitement in our hearts and look at the clouds. Jesus is coming. Let's close our eyes. Father God, we want to come and rejoice tonight. And we thank you, Father God, that you revealed to us your Father heart. Father God, we thank you for the beautiful house that you're busy building us. And we want to come and say, sorry, Lord, that we're so worried about our little houses here on earth. We're so worried about all the things that we need. Father God, we just want to come and ask you to forgive us. That we are not excited about the most wonderful things that you're going to have for us in heaven. Father, we just want to come and throw our hearts open and say, Lord, come in and dwell with us. Thank you that we can here on earth already experience heaven on earth. Thank you that when we come into your presence, it is heaven on earth. Thank you, Lord, for your great love for us. I pray, Lord God, that if there's anybody here tonight who has never experienced the joy of coming into your holy presence, I want you to reveal yourself to them now. Father God, I pray that you will help each one of these people who are here tonight to open up the doors of their heart to receive from you now. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I just feel that if there's somebody here that still need to meet this Jesus who are coming on the clouds, I just feel an urgency that you need to come now while we worship and just come and give your lives to the Lord now. It's not time to play. There is no time.